didn't want to come to church until Dan reminded me I was talking this morning. We're going to be talking about hospitality this morning. Amen? Amen? Hospitality. Generosity. What we have to give. Reminds me of a story. This cat and mouse both died and went to heaven. Right? Remember, hospitality is heaven given. This cat and mouse died, went to heaven. After about a week, St. Peter saw the mouse. He says, how are you doing? Mouse says, I'm doing really well. Heaven's wonderful. But it's so big. It's my small feet. I can barely get around. How about giving me a set of roller skates so I can get around a lot quicker? Peter said, you know what? Great idea. Here's your roller skates. So this mouse goes whizzing off, exploring heaven. A few days later, St. Peter saw the cat. Hey, how's it going? Wonderful. Heaven's amazing. And what I never realized is you serve meals on wheels. Amen. Hospitality. Food, food, and more food. Amen. Just to kind of recap where we are in our series, we're talking about gathering. You know, go, gather, grow. We're in the middle of our series, gather. John, a few weeks ago, spoke about, how do we really love one another when we gather together? What is that biblical love like? You know, and John talked about, and a new word I learned was edify, how that love can edify us in our spiritual life. Chris, a couple weeks ago, spoke about getting together in those tough times. Now, as believers, we are not alone. But when we gather together as believers as well, with having Christ in us, we can help and share and lean on one another because we have Christ indwelling in us. We can share our faith. There's nothing great. You know, I really, really enjoy getting together with Christians who believe because you can share such wonderful conversations and you can really help getting together and getting through those tough times. Rob, last week, spoke about how we can gather in our community. What does community mean? What does community mean for us as believers? Is it all about just gathering together on a Sunday here at church? Where does our community? Our communities are out there, where we live, where we work. So we kind of explore that. Today, I kind of want to capture a little bit about, or talk a little bit about hospitality. What does hospitality mean for us? And why is it so important in our spiritual lives? You know, hospitality isn't just about entertaining people at home. Hospitality, believe it or not, is a biblical act given to us. You know, from back into the Old Testament all the way to the New, God talks about hospitality. Paul encourages us about hospitality. Jesus commands us give hospitality. For me, hospitality is an expression of love. You know, God loves us, God's love to us that we share when we demonstrate hospitality. And it's a way and a means for us to connect to God. You know, my hospitality was first demonstrated to me by my mother. You know, I think parents do that for the children. But my mom was a great person to feed people, right? She loved feeding people. Now, in South Africa, we have this thing called you just rock up at somebody's home, right? You don't phone ahead. There'll just be a car rocking up in front of our house with a family full, coming in to visit us. Nobody's told us anything, but those days we didn't have a telephone or anything like that. But the first thing my mom would do, doesn't matter who it was, whether we had anything, she would put a meal on the table. Right? You put a meal on the table. And people would talk about my mom's cooking far and wide. And they'd just come home just to eat her cooking, I should think. Take all the food away from us. But that's okay. Hospitality. It's about setting a posture for our hearts where we can extend love to those that are around us. You know? Neighborly love, like Jesus talked about. Love your neighbor. Hospitality is about relationships, about connecting with people and connecting with God. Because when we emulate Jesus and our Heavenly Father, we connect to them on a much deeper level. Their true nature gets revealed through us in our hospitality. You know, one of the things that attracted Jen and I to Queensway was the unfettered love and hospitality that was extended to us when we first came here. You know, it's such a wonderful thing to walk into a place and feel loved, feel cared for, feel people just giving off generously. You know, hospitality is taught to us from the Old Testament, and what it means to us is really important. I'll take you to Genesis chapter 18, verses 2 through 3. The Bible says, Abraham, and this is about Abraham, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. You know, Abraham here extends generous hospitality to three strangers who at the end turns out to be divine messengers. You know, when we look at people, we want to love them. We want to show them our hospitality. Hospitality is about sacrificing yourself for that person. It's about putting yourself out, making yourself vulnerable to strangers. You know, for me, Abraham was drawn to these strangers. He didn't know them. But you know how sometimes you can get drawn to people without even having spoken to them? But just being close to them, there's something about them that attracts you to them. Hopefully it's not the perfume, but hopefully it's something else. But I think that's what Abraham felt. There was a presence about these three people. And in those times, you know, there wasn't the internet, there wasn't the telephone, there wasn't 24-hour news. So the only way they could get news was having people walk through the town or the village and asking them, talking to them. So you do get drawn to strangers, but I think there was something more to these people that Abraham recognized. And in his invitation, he felt impelled to invite them. And thank God he responded, because during that dinner, one of the visitors spoke to them about the plan that God had for their future and about Sarah giving birth to a child, even though she was very old. You know, that prophecy made it clear to Abraham that these visitors were not just visitors, but messengers from God. It was God speaking through these strangers. You know, our approach and our posture to hospitality must be to recognize that everyone is a child of God and everyone could be a messenger from God. Yes, they may not be believers, but that shouldn't color or dictate how we treat them. You never know who God will use to speak to you. You know, it goes on in the book of Hebrews 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. You know, the writer encourages us to show hospitality, reminding us that some of us, unknowingly, we may have entertained angels. I mean, how credible that is that to think about, just for a second? When you extend your home, when you open your home, when you make yourself vulnerable, when you open yourself to those encounters. And that's what hospitality can do. It can open the door to those divine encounters. It encourages us to treat everyone with kindness and respect, because they might be a messenger from God. You know, Jesus also emphasized that caring for others, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, welcoming strangers, clothing those that are naked, is like serving him directly. You know, Matthew 23, chapter 25. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. You know, sometimes we can think hospitality can be a burden because you've got to cook. And then you've got to think about the cleaning up afterwards. Who thinks about the cleaning up afterward? Jen has a dishwasher at home, and that's me. So she doesn't worry too much. But hospitality is when you welcome somebody in your home. What Jesus' word is saying is when you welcome them in your home, you are welcoming me. You are feeding me. You are being generous to me. You are showing kindness to me, Jesus says. Because in Matthew 10, he says, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. And whoever gives one of those little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. You know, we are commanded by Jesus and our Heavenly Father to show kindness and hospitality to those around us. That's believers and non-believers. You know, for me, hospitality is an instruction to go. It's a go instruction, but it's also a gather action. Right? Just bear with me on this one. I know when we talked about go during the go series, many people felt challenged. Because it seems like we were saying to go out and be evangelists, right? Go out in the street and try and convert people and things like that. But we all know not every one of us has the gift of evangelism. You know, we all can't stand in the market square and evangelize. You know, they took away my little joke I had about Ken and the Pentecostal ship, so I won't go in there right now. But when we invite people into our homes, we are going. We are responding to Jesus' go and make disciples. You are bringing people into your home to share a meal. We are gathering with those people in our house. Now, I don't expect you to ambush them when they come for dinner and take out your, you know, the trifle card that counties gave us and start reading and try to convert them in that meal. But by showing them unconditional love, generosity, kindness, you are showing them what Jesus is all about. You welcome them in Jesus' name. You make yourself vulnerable to those people that you invite into your home. You are going and making disciples by demonstrating Jesus' love. So go isn't, you know, shouldn't be seen as something that is quite challenging. When we gather people to us in hospitality, we are gathering in the name of Jesus. You know, there's many great cooks in Queensway. One of the things I love is our fellowship lunches. You know, it's such a great time to get together because there's wonderful food. I mean, some of those table spreads at the back have been fantastic, right? In next week, we're doing the collaborative discussions. And what we thought we'd do is we have a potluck fellowship lunch afterward. Who's game for that? Let me see some hands. Yeah, there we go. Amen. So next week, we're going to do a fellowship lunch after the collaborative discussion. Because next week's all about talking together as a members, as a family, about how we grow deeper in our faith. How does life group affect us? How do we grow? How do we gather? How does hospitality impact us? What can we do with hospitality in the life groups? So we're going to do a potluck fellowship lunch next week. Now, that might mean that you're all going to bring sticky toffee puddings. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Eh? Amen? Sticky toffee puddings. Now, no, it's not mine. I'm not asking for me. Hashtag I'm asking for Jen. We've got a gala dinner coming up at our golf club, right? It's funny story. And I said to Jen, okay, what do you want for dinner? Because we've got to give them our menu choices, right? She chose chicken, and then comes down to dessert. And I said, well, sticky toffee pudding. Oh, no, I can't have sticky toffee pudding. I've got to, you know, it's too sweet. I'll take the cheese and biscuits. So I said, okay, cheese and biscuits. For my name, I've put sticky toffee pudding. Because bet you, what's going to happen at the dinner table? We're going to do swapsies because it's Jen. What Jen believes is I order the sticky toffee. The calories don't count for her. But let's look forward to a time of hospitality after the collaborative conversation next week and a fellowship lunch. Amen? So we look forward to that. And I know that Catherine and Rachel want to do a carol service or a run through the carols. Am I right, Catherine? Yes? Fantastic. So we'll do that next week. We can meet with Rachel and Catherine, yeah. You know, hospitality is a chance for you to be blessed and for you to be a blessing to people. And we go to Elijah and the widow, where God sent Elijah to the home of a poor widow who opened her home despite not having much, but still offers him food and shelter. And the scripture says, and she went and did as Elijah said. Her act of hospitality and faith led to a miraculous provision of food because she just had the one son and her son was hungry. And despite having so little, she did feed Elijah and she told Elijah. And then Elijah said to her to go and bring whatever little you have in your house. And she just had a jar of oil and a little bit of flour. And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. See, when we extend hospitality, we are blessed. Because Jesus says, as much as you give, you will receive. But we are also a blessing to somebody. We are a blessing to the people that we have in our homes at the time. You know, if you go back to the early practices of the church, you know, it's amazing that in the book of Acts, it says that day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in the homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. The church grew around people's homes. And when you went into a person's homes, you were given hospitality because invariably you were given a meal. And the word of God spread through the act of hospitality. You know, even in the secular world today, they still make a biblical reference. Because when you talk about going in and having a meal with friends, you say, well, let's break bread together. Let's break bread together. You know, to whom should we extend our hospitality? So Jesus gave us direction. He said, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. That's in Luke chapter 14. You know, John Mark Comer, on one of his messages, reflected on that passage, and he made a really good point. Hospitality is an act of generosity. You give, which in itself is a gift, but it's also a blessing. And we should not view hospitality as a means to carry favor forward. That means you shouldn't be giving hospitality to some people that you want something from, who are above your station. But instead, you need to aim hospitality downwards to the poor, to the people that you can serve, to do justice for the poor, as Jesus says. Where you can do that, we should be doing that without expecting anything in return. You know, it's no fluke that there is a connection between the biblical principle of hospitality and Jesus' command to celebrate communion. You know, both practices share the themes of community, of generosity, and the inclusion of others. We need to eat to survive, right? Who doesn't like food? And it's not any wonder that Jesus constituted the act of communion from that very act of being hospitable, of eating and sharing a meal together. In communion, you are invited to the act of hospitality to share the bread of life and the blood of Jesus. It brings us as believers together in remembrance of him. So every time you take a meal, every time you invite people over, you are sharing communion, you are having communion, you are remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. Hospitality mirrors God's generous favor and his nature on us. Through communion, through that act of hospitality, we celebrate Jesus' life. You know, in biblical hospitality, inclusion is vital. Hospitality in the early church and as Jesus walked the earth meant embracing all people, whether Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, demonstrating that God's love is for everyone. Hospitality impacts our lives. It resets the posture of your heart. When you give, I think there's such a warmth when you give. It's so much better to give than to receive. That's my experience anyway. Jen's a great feeder, as you know. When we're feeding people, when we are extending our home, when we are being hospitable, it's such a wonderful feeling to be giving. So I asked for testimonies. I'm going to stop talking now. I asked for people to give some testimonies about hospitality. And what does hospitality meant, or how has hospitality affected your spiritual life? And a few people have volunteered. So who would like to go first? Chris? Jan? Lorraine? Lorraine. Lorraine says yes.
You can do it from here. No. Thank you. He's a tryer, isn't he? When I first moved to Melksham 20 years ago, we needed work done on our bungalow. And a friend of my sister, called Hazel, who was a member of this church, suggested Ken. So Ken came to the house, and we were chatting. And he said, "Are you looking for a church by any chance?" And I said, "Well, actually, yeah, I've been to a couple, and I'm not keen." And he just happened to have on his person a welcome pack for Queensway Chapel. It's no surprise, is it? Because we all know Ken's always got a welcome pack. Anyway, he gave me the welcome pack, and I came along on the Sunday, and I've never left. But 3 weeks after I started here, Esther came up to me and said, "Are you thinking of joining a fellowship group?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." She said, "Will you come to Friday Fellowship?" I said, "Yes, I will." It's all moving to this is God meant me to be here. He led me here through Ken. I came to Friday Fellowship, and Esther said, "We really must pray for a replacement for Olive." And I said, "Who's Olive?" I said, "Oh, Olive does open house. She cooks at open house." So anyway, we prayed. And afterwards I said, "What does it entail?" And she told me. And I said, "Well, actually, I was deacon in charge of catering at my last church." And she looked at me with tears in her eyes and she said, "Wow, God really moves fast sometimes." So I started at open house. And I was blessed to work with Helen, God rest her soul. I was blessed to work with her, and it was wonderful because it integrated me into the church. My flair for hospitality, as Mason's been saying, it integrated me because I got to know so many people so much quicker, And I enjoyed doing open house for 14 years, so I bless God for that.
Amen, and thank you. And I think that's just another, that's an example of God working in that mysterious way, isn't it? Hospitality. The church needed somebody to do cooking. And guess what? Lorraine's previous role was deacon of catering. And just God brought her in. Hospitality at work. And she got to know so many people over the 14 years. You become a blessing when you do things like that. You become a blessing. And that's such a wonderful reward. Chris? Chris has got two testimonies. I think one is her own and one's from Sue Sampson.
So this is from Sue Sampson. She's put dictionary definitions: the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of visitors, guests and strangers. The act of being friendly and welcoming to guests and visitors. Biblical definition: the quality of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly and generous way. In the New Testament, the Greek word for hospitality literally means love of strangers, a genuine way to show love for others. Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 40, whatever we do for the least of people, we do for him. The welcoming of fellowship with believers and non-believers out of truth and love for Jesus. Then she goes on to say, having been involved with Queensway Chapel for almost 45 years, it has always put hospitality at its heart. A warm welcome, refreshments, and most group meetings involve food and drink. Making someone a meal or a drink shows love and care. This is why I've always enjoyed cooking. At work, I'm known as the feeder. There's usually some cake or treats in the cupboard. At Core Church, I was involved with Christmas Day lunches and coffee on the way, coffee shop. These have given me the skills and courage to firstly assist Helen and Family Church and lately take on the cooking for this. It gives me so much joy to see the adults and children eat the food I prepare to come back. They eat it in seconds or minutes. The meals gives us an opportunity to sit and eat and talk with the families and get to know and share our love of Jesus. It shows we care about them physically as well as spiritually and gives us opportunities to invite them to other chapel events. And recently, it was great to see seven families at the Harvest Supper. For myself, I don't live in Melksham. I live in a village called Neston. And I suppose about 18 months, I got to know two older ladies in the village. One was a widow, one has a husband who's not so well. So there's two or three things of hospitality that I can just bring to mind. These two ladies, because they don't drive, they can't get out. So it was led on my heart to take them out, take them for coffee, and they can have a drink or whatever. And I never let them pay. Not, I'm doing that as a pride thing. It's because I feel that's my generosity of sharing with them, and it gives me an opportunity to take them out, and we can talk, you know, all sorts of things. But from that, they've become, one of them, her grandson, has become a Christian, not because of through me, but she's now able to talk more about Christian things. He became a Christian through the army padre. So that's been an opportunity for me to talk to her. There's the second thing is, there's another lady in the village who's a Christian, and she goes to the Caution Baptist Church. And she and I work together to bring people from the village to her house, and we share cake and sandwiches and things like that. And sometimes it's a fundraiser to make it sort of fun for the local charity. Other times it's just to share. And at the moment we're planning to have ladies around to make a Christmas decoration. And at the same time, we're going to share food and drinks. So that's one ongoing thing in our village. And then recently, because I'm rattling around in a family home, I've been asking God, how could I share my home? And just before I went away to Australia, my youngest daughter approached me and her husband and said, a very good friend of ours has been told that where he's renting in Bath, it's coming to an end because the guy wants to move his girlfriend in. Any chance that you could have him? Okay, then. So I've got two rooms at what I call the further end of my bungalow, and he's come to live there. No trouble whatsoever. And the other night, when I came back from home group, and I'd put my Bible in the kitchen, and he came up to get some washing out of the dryer. And he goes, Chris, what is that big book on your kitchen top? I go, well, actually, I said, it's my Bible. He said, well, it looks like it's been very well read. I said, yeah, it's got little stickers in it and everything. He goes, do you read it every day? I go, yes, I do. And he goes, oh, that's very interesting. Well, maybe one day we could talk more about it. I said, okay. So it's just one step. And again, I think it's hospitality of me saying, okay, you can come and share my home.
Wow, fantastic. What a wonderful story that is. And that's it. When you open yourself to hospitality, you are opening yourself to divine interventions, to God working in your lives. You are putting yourself out there. And like I said, it doesn't have to be evangelizing on the streets. You guys are so good at hospitality. I know that. We've seen it. We've experienced it firsthand. Janice, we've got
a minute. I'll just make it quite brief. Is it on? Probably the best example of receiving hospitality for me was when we moved our whole family to Scotland. So that involved me going in a minibus with six children to the borders of Scotland and landing a week before the Bible course started at the mercy of our landlady, who offered us hospitality. And the landlady was a Christian, and she was called Alison. And the children were very uncertain about going and living in a stranger's home. We left everything, so we didn't really have any choice. But we were made very, very welcome. And we actually got involved in running the B&B. So she wasn't a lady who said, oh, you know, come and enter my home and, you know, we'll give you all your food and all that sort of thing. So I did laundry and I did shopping, and we entertained some people while they went out, which I thought was a little bit weird. But the level of hospitality was literally letting us into their lives. So they had three grown-up children, they had B&B breakfast business, and she even said, right, what are the names of your children? So we went through the names of the children. She thought of an acrostic, is that how you do it? And her acrostic was, Dear God, Make Jesus Really Special. So that's the six names of the children: Deborah, Gareth, Matthew, Jessica, did I get that right? Rachel and Stephen. Yeah, so when they came down for breakfast the next morning, she said, hello, Gareth. Hello, Matthew. Hello. She worked out from their sizes who they were. And this really bowled over our kids, you know, who thought, oh, wow, you know, this person really likes us. The fifth-born girl, she had a birthday, and Alison made her birthday cake and invited the neighbours in so that she could have a birthday tea. So this level of hospitality was just bowled me over, I have to say. And obviously we became friends through them. We went to their church. We've had an ongoing relationship with them. And I just want to call out some hospitality that is in this room. And that's, you know, Dell runs a coffee morning every Wednesday for Kestrel Court. And some of your folks are not very grateful, are they? No. And so they come along and she does her best and she makes cakes and she does a raffle and all this kind of thing, because she knows the value of reaching out to people. And that makes a lovely focus in the week at Kestrel Court. And also Alan and Sylvie, they do a coffee morning on a Thursday, and Rob and I have been, and it's amazing. And I was saying, I think one week, I said, well, we know it starts around 10, 10:30, when do you finish? And she said, oh, about 2. I was like, oh my goodness, when everybody goes. You know, and this is hospitality on the move. Our friend Steve at the back of the room, you know, he invited us over for lunch. You know, we get to know people, don't we? So these are things in practice. My example was 1995, 96. But it meant the world to our family, you know, and right to the current day.
Thank you. Yes, when you open your homes, and like Jan says, so many fantastic examples, it's not just opening your homes. Hospitality isn't just about feeding. I think hospitality, like I said, is generosity. It's a sacrifice of your time, of yourself, to put yourself out there. That's hospitality. It doesn't have to be about meals. You know, like Chris was saying, it's about taking people out, removing social isolation. You know, Mary gave me one of her testimonies, but I'm not going to say it because I can't do it justice. But Mary talks about hospitality can also be about just giving your time to, as she does to her neighbors. Just giving your time. You don't have to be cooking a meal. It's just, what is it that's in your heart, and what is it that you're sacrificing? That is hospitality. You know, Jesus modeled the spreading of the gospel through hospitality. He invited himself to so many dinner parties, right? I never knew somebody who could invite himself to a dinner party. Gatecrasher, he was the first gatecrasher we ever knew, right? Zacchaeus, come down off the tree. I'm coming to your house for dinner. Oh, okay, great, fantastic. Inviting himself to Matthew, the tax collector. I'm coming to your house. Go and tell those people they've got a room upstairs. I'm coming there to have my dinner. I mean, what a gatecrasher is that, right? Takes it, gives it a whole new meaning. But there is great joy in sharing a meal and demonstrating Jesus' love to people, irrespective of their belief or their station in life. When you invite someone to your home, you make yourself available for that divine intervention into their lives, but also into your life. Because I think when you bless somebody, that just blesses you as well. But do not do so, when you invite somebody, don't do so with the expectation of getting a reward. I'm preaching to the converted, yeah, this is never done here. But do it with humbleness, open heart, and share Jesus' love with everyone who crosses your path. Amen. Do you want to close in prayer? Or should I close? Let's just bow our heads and come together in prayer in closing. Father, I give you thanks for the word this morning. I give you thanks for your teachings in the Bible, for your commands. Father, you show us so much. You give us so much wisdom. And Father, this church, as I said, is just a beacon of hospitality. It demonstrates hospitality. Father, as we just go about our week, we just pray for your presence in our life. We ask that you bless everyone that's here today and those that could not make it today. Father, we just think of those that are ill and that are not well. Father, we just lift them up to you and pray for your hand over their lives, your hand of healing, your hand of protection. Father, as we go about our week, let us remember that hospitality is showing generous love, is emulating your heart to the world, your practices to the world. We just give this, all this praise and honor to you now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.